And on page 396, paragraph 84. So we have not yet come to the contemplation on the four great elements or four great essentials. If his meditation subject is still not successful when he gives his attention to it in this way, then he should develop it with characteristics in brief. How? In the 20 components. Now you must remember the 32 or 44 components. The 32 parts of the body, and then four elements of fire, and six elements of air. So altogether, 32. I think 42, right? So here the contemplation is to be done in brief. So among the 32 parts, the first 20 are said to be of solidity character. I mean, they have the characteristic of stiffness or solidity. So in this method, the yogi takes them as a whole, these 20 components. And then in these 20 components, the characteristic of stiffness is earth element, the characteristic of cohesion is water element, characteristic of maturing or ripening is fire element, and the characteristic of distendedness is the air element. So in this way, he defines the four elements in these 20 components. And then in the remaining 12 components, says the characteristic of cohesion is water element, characteristic of maturing is fire element, characteristic of distension or distendedness is air element, and the characteristic of stiffness is the earth element. Actually, he defines all four elements in these components, but he does not take the components one by one in this method. But in the next method, he will take them one by one. And the four components, that is fire elements, the characteristic of maturing is fire element, the characteristic of distension, unresolvable, inseparable from it, is the air element, the characteristic of stiffness is the earth element, and the characteristic of cohesion is water element. And in the six components, the six kinds of air element, the characteristic of distension should be defined as the air element. So it is air element, the characteristic of stiffness is earth element, cohesion is water element, and maturing is fire element. So these elements are in everything, either in living beings or in outside things. So he defines or he tries to see these four elements in everything, but taking them as a whole. So as he defines them in this way, the elements become evident to him. As he adverts to them and gives attention to them again and again, excess concentration arises in him in the way already stated. So there's only excess concentration, no absorption. Then the next method is characteristics by analysis. That means in detail, going in detail. So here, after discerning head hairs, etc., in the way already described, the characteristic of stiffness in head hairs should be defined as the earth element. The characteristic of cohesion there too is the water element. The characteristic of maturing or ripening is the fire element, and the characteristic of distension is the air element. So here he takes the components one by one and try to define these four elements in each component: head hair, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, and so on. So as he defines them in this way, the elements become evident to him again, and he adverts and gives attention to them again and again. Excess concentration arises in him in the way already described. So there can be only excess concentration with this type of meditation, no jhana or absorption concentration. Now, additional ways of giving attention. In addition, attention should be given to the elements in the following ways: as to the word meaning, by groups, by particles, by characteristics, etc., as to how originated, as to variety and unity, as to resolution or separability and non-resolution, inseparability, as to the similar and the dissimilar, as to distinction between internal and external, as to inclusion, as to condition, as to lack of conscious reaction, last, as to analysis of conditions. So in these 13 ways, he gives attention to the four elements. Now the first is the meaning of the words, Pali words. The Pali words are Pathavi, Apo, Tejo, and Vayo. So they are explained here. They may seem odd, but it's okay. Separately, it is earth because it is spread out. So the word Pathavi is defined as meaning something spread out. So it flows, or it glides, or it satisfies. Thus it is water. It heats, thus it is fire, and it blows, thus it is air. They are just word explanations. But without differentiation, that means in general, they are elements. That means all of them are called dhatus or elements. Each one is called by its specific name, Pathavi, Tejo, Apo, Vayo. But generally, or collectively, they are called dhatus, elements. And the word dhatu is made to mean here because of bearing their own characteristics, because of holding their own characteristics, and because of grasping suffering, and because of sorting out suffering. Here, the text is a little, and we are not sure about the correct reading of the text in the original book. The first word you see is adana, adana. And some teachers think that is not necessary here, that is not needed, or it may be a wrong reading. So adhana is the correct reading here. So some teachers say that. And the commentary also, the sub-commentary also commented upon it, but it's not quite clear. So here, the word dhatu is explained as something which bears its own characteristic, or which, say, following here, which grasps suffering, or which sort out suffering. Sort out suffering really means to create suffering or to produce suffering. I don't know what sort out means. Can it this mean to produce or to make? Sorting out? Or we should understand in that meaning. So, they are called elements. Actually, there are many other elements in Abhidhamma. Consciousness is also called element, and there are other elements like Dhamma Dhatu. It's a famous name in this country, Dhamma Dhatu. And by groups, there is the earth element described under the 20 aspects modes, beginning with head hairs, body hairs, and also the water element described under the 12 modes or aspects, beginning with the bile, phlegm. Now, as to these, now color, odor, taste, and nutritive essence, and the four elements. From combination of these eight, there comes the common usage head hairs. And separately from these eight, there is no common usage head hairs. These eight are the basic unit of matter, because you may reduce matter into the smallest particle, say into an atom or into a subatom, but even that subatom contains or is a combination of these eight material particles. That is how Abhidhamma teaches us. So everything which we call matter is composed of these eight material properties: color, odor, taste, nutritive essence, and then these four elements, earth element, and so on. Consequently, head hairs are only a mere group of eight states. Likewise, body hairs and the rest. So, when you define head hair, you define according to, say, this head hair is nothing but a group of eight material properties. And these eight are color, odor, and so on. When these and they are inseparable material particles. You cannot separate them. You can separate them only in your mind, only in with your wisdom. But they cannot be physically separated. So, if with your mind you separate these eight elements one by one, then you lose the usage. You lose the name head hair. There is no head hair, because like when you take the parts of a car one by one, then you lose the thing car, or you lose the word car. In the same way, when you take these eight material properties apart, then there is no head hair or body hair or whatever. So by group means by the group of material properties. Here a group of eight material properties. And the footnote there, because of being their own, bearing their own characteristics, these are not like the primordial essence, Prakriti, Sanskrit Prakriti, and the self, Atta, imagined by the theorist, which are non-existent as to individual essence. So whenever they had an occasion, they always reject the ideas of other sects or other teachers, other people. This is characteristic of books written when there was much debate among different sects. So as Theravada Buddhists, or as Buddhists, we do not accept the primordial essence of Prakriti, as in Sankhya system of Hindu philosophy. And self is also not accepted. So they always say these are just imaginations in the mind of them. They do not have real existence, or they do not have individual essence. But what we are talking about, the four primary elements, are that they have real individual essence, and so they are the real things, not like those which are not real. So on the contrary, these do bear their own characteristics. They have their own characteristics, which is why they are elements. And then the next...
I think this is sometimes where Mahayanists and Theravada tradition sometimes differ. For instance, in the Prajnaparamita, I think one of the points of that is that even those elements don't have a self or a real. But so this is an apparent contradiction, but actually, when you talk, I can see it also as a useful description, saying breaking things up into elements or it could fit on a grid, but not that it is real in itself. That would be a Mahayanist.
That's right, yeah.
But that would not be a Theravada point?
No. Theravada Buddhism accepts them as real, these elements. So they have their own individual essence, or they have their own existence. The existence means having the three phases of existence, the arising and staying for some time and disappearing. So whatever has these three is supposed to be existent. And Theravada Buddhism takes them as existent, or takes them as real, ultimate reality. But in Mahayana, nothing has its own existence. Everything is void, sunya. So that is the difference. Now the next one. Now, footnote 30, from resolution of these eight. The eight dhammas, beginning with kala, when resolved by means of understanding, so by wisdom, are apprehendable in the ultimate sense through mutual negation. That means earth is not water, water is not earth. That is what is called mutual negation. That means A is not B and B is not A. But head hairs are not apprehendable in the ultimate sense through negation of kala and so on. So you're going to say, say kala is different from hair, or different hair is different from kala, because kala and hair, the hair has kala inherent in it. So you understand this by separating them in your mind, one from the other, but not one from the kala and so on. Consequently, the term of common usage, head hairs, is applied to these dhammas in their co-arisen state, when they arise, these eight material properties arise together, and when they are together, then we have the designation for it as hair, head hair, body hair, and so on. The meaning is that it is a mere conventional term. Only a mere group of eight states is said taking the color, etc., which are real as a unity by means of the concept head hair, not only because they are merely the eight states. Now, there is something I want to correct. Only a mere group of eight states, this is mentioned in the Visuddhimagga, it is said there, taking the kala, etc., which are the basis for the concept head hair as one, not which are real as a unity by means of concept. Now, this is a wrong understanding of the word there. So what it really means is the eight states, the eight material properties, are a basis for the concept head hair, body hair, and so on. So here, these eight material properties are taken as one. So, which are dependent, or which are basis for the concept head hair, and taken them as one, and not because I have stricken out the word only, not because they are only the eight states, so only should go there instead of merely, and not because they are only eight state means, you look at the head hair. And in the head hair, there are thousands and thousands of particles of matter. Not only eight particles, but there are thousands and thousands of material properties. But there are only eight kinds of material properties. That is why they are said here. Not because they are only eight. So a hair consists of thousands and thousands of material properties. But if you divide them into kinds, then you get only eight kinds of material property. So likewise, body, hairs, and the rest. The component here that is karma originated is a group of 10 states. That is to say, the former 8 together with the life faculty and sex. So if it is karma originated, that means if it is in the living beings, then we may add the life faculty and then sex, male sex or female sex. So we can get 10 material properties in that case. But it is on account of respective prominence, of stiffness or cohesion that it comes to be styled earth element or water element. So in the hair, all four elements are present, but when we divide them into earth element and so on, we say the head hair belongs to earth element. So that does not mean that there is only earth element in the hair, but that earth element is prominent in the hair. That is why it is called earth element. In fact, all four elements are present everywhere. The next is by particles. In this body, the earth element taken as reduced to fine dust and powder to the size of the smallest atom might amount to an average donor measure full. Maybe it's difficult to ascertain this measure, but let's say a pound of dust, something like that, and that is held together by the water element measuring half as much, being maintained by the fire element so that it does not decay or something, and distended by the air element, it does not get scattered or dissipated. Instead of getting scattered or dissipated, it arrives at the alternative states of the female and male sex, etc., and manifests smallness, bigness, length, shortness, toughness, rigidity, and so on. So these particles are to be contemplated on this way. The earth element taken as reduced fine dust, and liquid water element, that is the mode of cohesion, being founded on earth, maintained by fire and distended by air, does not trickle or run away. So one element is supported by the other three elements. That is why they can stay together. And the fire element that cooks or that matures what is eaten, drunk, that digests what is eaten, drunk, etc., and is a mode of warming and has the characteristic of heat, being established on earth, held together by water and distended by air, maintains this body and ensures its proper appearance. And this body being maintained by it shows no putrefaction. If we lose fire element altogether, then our body will decompose. So it is this fire element in our body that keeps this body from putrefaction. The air element that courses through all the limbs and has the characteristic of moving and distending, being founded upon earth, held together by water and maintained by fire, distends this body. And this body, being distended by the air, latter kind of air, does not collapse, but stands erect. So everything that stands erect is supported by this air element. So if we take air element altogether, it will fall or something like that. And being propelled by the other motile, what's motile? It shows intimation and it flexes and extends and it wiggles the hand and feet, and doing so in the postures comprising walking, standing, sitting and lying down. So this mechanism of elements carries on like a magic trick, deceiving foolish people with the male and female sex and so on. So deceiving us to thinking this is a man, this is a woman, this is an animal, this is a human being, and so on. But if you can see through them, through just the appearance of the beings, then you will arrive at the four elements. So there are these four elements. As to characteristic, etc., this passage is important. Now, the earth element, what are its characteristic, function, and manifestation? The earth element has a characteristic of hardness. In fact, When we say hardness, we also mean softness. Because softness is just a degree of hardness. Say hardness reduced little by little, and then we get softness. So softness and hardness are pretty much the same. So its characteristic is hardness. Its function is to act as foundation, as a receptacle. It is manifested as receiving something. And the water element has a characteristic of trickling. Its function is to intensify. It is manifested as holding together. There's something that holds together. The fire element has a characteristic of heat. Its function is to mature, to maintain. It is manifested as a continued supply of softness. So when there is heat, when you put something on fire, it becomes soft. So continued supply of softness. The air element has a characteristic of distending. Its function is to cause motion. That means to push. It is manifested as conveying, taking something to some place. This is how they should be given attention by characteristic and so on. These can be seen during meditation practice. Especially the air element is evident when you practice walking meditation. So you walk with full, say, awareness of the lifting, moving, putting, and so on. So in that case, you can see the air element at work there. First, you have the intention to, say, to lift your foot. So that is the intention, which is mental. And this mental state causes some material properties to arise in our foot. And since there are many moments of consciousness going on when we have intention to move, and these each one of the consciousness causes some kind of material property to arise. And so what we call lifting is just the arising of material properties at adjacent locations. That means, according to Abhidhamma, nothing moves to another place. So when there is movement, we think that when I move my finger, I think that I move my finger. But according to Abhidhamma, there is nothing that moves. But caused by my mind, this movement occurs. And movement really means arising of material particles at the different moments or different locations. So it may be like pictures on a movie film. So in one, on one frame, there is one picture, and on the next frame, there is a very, very, a picture which is very little different from the previous picture. So in the same, similarly, what happens when there is movement really is just arising of material properties at successive locations or adjacent locations. So that is explained somewhat in the footnote also, Disantarupati, the Pali word.
So this means that there's no continuity, there's contiguousness. There's no continuity, but there's closeness, but there's no one
thing, say, moving from one place to another, or from one moment to another. So whatever arises at this moment disappears at this moment. It does not go to the next moment. But at next moment, another thing is created, another thing arises.
Which is close, or
which may be identical with the one just disappeared. Right. And so when you practice meditation, walking meditation, you may be able to see some of these characteristics and functions. When you pay real attention, sometimes you you feel that something is pushing you from behind, or something is pushing your foot from behind, something like that. And that is the function of causing motion. And then the air element is something that takes your foot from, say, from the position on the ground to up, or to move forward. So that is conveying. So these characteristics and others can be seen through direct experience during intense practice of meditation. As to how originated, among the 42 components, beginning with head hairs, shown in the detailed treatment of the earth element, etc., the four consisting of gorge, tongue, pus, and urine are temperature originated only. Later on, I think we will get the four causes of matter. Paragraph 111, we will find the four causes: karma, consciousness, nutriment, and temperature. Now it's talking about that. So as to how originated, the four consisting of gorge, tongue, pus, and urine are temperature originated only. That means caused by temperature or climate. The four consisting of tears, sweat, spittle, and snort are temperature originated and consciousness originated. The fire that that cooks what is eaten, etc., is karma originated only. So we call it stomach fire, and that fire element is said to be caused by karma only. So those who have good karma will have good digestion. And if you don't have good digestion, you blame your karma. In-breath and out-breath are consciousness originated only. All the rest are of fourfold origination, the caused by all four causes. And this is how they should be given attention as to how originated. And as to the variety and unity, that means difference and similarity. There is variety in the specific characteristics, etc., of all elements. For the characteristic function and manifestation of the earth element is one, and those of the water element, etc., are different. So, according to characteristics, they are different. Water element is different from, earth element is different from water element, and water element is different from fire element, and so on. But there is unity in them as materiality. Although they are different as water, earth, water, air, and so on, they are material properties. So, in that, they are the same. So, there's a unity in them as materiality. Or they are called great primaries, or they are called elements, or they are called states. And all of them are described as impermanent and so on. So, notwithstanding the fact that they are various according to specific characteristics, etc., and according to origination by karma and so on. So there is variety as well as unity among these elements. Variety means one is different from the other. And unity is they all are rupas, they all are great primaries, they all are elements and so on. All these elements are instances of materiality because they do not exceed the characteristic of being molested. Being molested is the definition of the word rupa. Something which is being molested by heat, cold, etc. is called a rupa in Pali. So the word rupa is defined as something which is molested by heat, cold, hunger, thirst, and so on. And they are great primaries. They are called great primaries because they are the basis of the other material properties depending on them. By reason of great manifestation and so on. And the word Mahabuddha will be explained in different ways. By reason of great manifestation and so on means that these elements are called great primaries for the following reasons. So there are how many reasons given, A, B, C, D, E. This may be useful for Abhidhamma students. So in the chapter on material properties, there's the word Mahabhuta. So you may read this and understand the word. Manifestation, the first one is manifestation of greatness. They manifest greatness, therefore they are called, say, great primaries. They are manifested as great both in continuity that is not clung to, acquired through karma. Now, we'll have to strike out acquired through karma. Here, continuity that is clung to means in living beings. And in a continuity, continuity that is not clung to means outside things, inanimate things. And in a continuity that is clung to means living beings. Not acquired through karma. I've told you about this this Pali word, upadena. For their manifestation of greatness in a continuity that is not clung to is given in the description of the recollection of the Buddha in the way beginning. So if you go back to that chapter, you will see this. 2 times 100,000 leagues and then 4 nahudas as well. This earth, this bearer of all wealth, has that much thickness as they tell. So this is the dimension of the earth. 2 times 100,000, 200,000, and then 4 nahudas as well. This earth is said to be that much deep. See, that 200,000 and 4 nahudas. It's a Pali word.
How much is a nahuda?
Let me see. 204? How do you say this? 240,000.
240,000.
Ah, yes. So the earth is said to be 240,000 leagues deep. And they are manifested on a great scale also in continuity that is clung to, for instance, in the bodies of fishes. So there are big fishes in the sea, turtles, deities, Danava demons, and so on. And for this is said, because there are individual creatures of 100 leagues in the great ocean. So in the great ocean there are creatures that have very, very big, big bodies. Then likeness to great creatures. Here, great creatures mean those who are called great because they have some kind of magic power, or just magicians are called great creatures here. Just as a magician turns water that is not crystal into crystal, and turns a cloth that is not gold into gold, and shows them, and being himself neither a spirit nor a bird, shows himself as a spirit or a bird, so too, being themselves not blue-black, they turn themselves into blue-black derived materiality, and so on. That means these elements are not blue or not black or not red, but they make us believe that they are blue, they are red, and so on. So they deceive us into believing what is not real as real.
Seems to me what you just said is a Mahayana point of view, that the primaries could deceive us into thinking that they're real. I don't see the difference, except
that is, say, they themselves are not blue, black, or whatever, but we take them to be blue, we take them to have a shape, to have a form.
To be real.
In another sense, yes. In a conventional sense. But according to Abhidharma, what is real is just the elements and the particles of matter mentioned in the books. So according to Abhidharma, the cup is not the reality, but those particles which are contained in the cup, they are real. They have their own existence. But a cup has no existence of its own, because it is just a concept. So here, great creatures means magicians. So they can turn anything into and make us believe. And the word Mahabhuta, there is something like a word play here in the footnotes. In Pali, Abhuta, A-B-H-U-T-A, that means not real. And then Abhuta, A-B-B-H-U-T-A, that means something wonderful or a miracle. So these two are, the word Mahabhuta is taken to have these two meanings. So a magician is a man who has so many unreal things, and he is a man who has wonderful things, who can create wonders. And then, in the footnote, about the middle of the footnote, the deception lies in causing the apparent individual essence of blue, black, etc., though they themselves have no such individual essence of blue, black, etc. And it lies in causing the appearance of what has the aspect of woman and man, etc., though they themselves have no such individual essence of woman, man, and so on. Likewise, they are undemonstrability, since they are not found inside or outside each other, though they rely upon each other for support. For if these elements were found inside each other, they would not each perform their particular functions, owing to mutual frustration. And if they were found outside each other, they would be already resolved, separate, and that being so, any description of them as unresolved would be meaningless. So although their standing place is undemonstrable, still each one assists the other by its particular function, the functions of establishing, etc., whereby each becomes a condition for the others as connaissance condition, and so on. Connaissance condition means helping together while arising together. And these conditions are from the 24 causal conditions taught in the last book of Abhidhamma. In fact, the sentences beginning with likewise, their undemonstrability pertains to the next paragraph, 99. So there, in Visuddhimagga it is said that they have no standing place either inside him or outside him. So too, these elements are not found to stand either inside or outside each other, yet they have no standing independently of one another. So these elements are really separated. One does not stand or exist in the other, but they have no standing independently of one another because they depend on one another. So there is dependence on one another, but they are not mixed up, fused, so that there may be no distinction between one from the other. Now, they are also great primaries in being equal to the great creatures, such as the spirits, because they have no thinkable standing place relative to each other. And just as the great creatures known as female spirits conceal their own fearfulness with the pleasing color, shape, and gesture to deceive beings, so too these elements conceal each their own characteristic and function, classed as hardness, etc., by means of a pleasing skin color of women's and men's bodies, etc., and pleasing shapes of limbs and pleasing gestures of fingers, toes, and eyebrows, and they deceive simple people by concealing their own functions and characteristics, beginning with hardness, and do not allow their individual essence to be seen. So if we do not concentrate, if we do not really meditate on these elements, we will not know or will not see their true characteristics and so on. So long as we do not see their characteristics, we will always be deceived by them in believing that this is a man, this is a woman, and so on.
What means conceal their own fearfulness?
That is the female spirits, you know, the ghosts. Mm-hmm. And they may assume another form so that they don't look fearful. There are stories in the Jatakas where female spirits, entice people and then eat them, or kill them and eat them. So, although the female spirits or yakinis are said to be very fearful appearance, they may change their form, and they may change as a beautiful girl to entice you, and then they will eat you. Next, great maintenance. This is because they have to be sustained by the great requisites. For these elements are great primaries, since they have occurred through the means of food, clothing, etc., which are great in importance because they have to be found every day. Or alternatively, they are great primaries, since they are primaries whose maintenance is great. So they have to be maintained by food, clothing.